What issues around your house are staring you in the face this weekend?
Do I get the sanded grout or the unsanded grout?
The last 3 or 4 years, I've been fighting mildew issues.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Whatever questions you have.
This isn't real earth-shattering.
Lou is here to help.
I'm only taking earth-shattering questions. Can you give me an earth-shattering question?
Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah.
Yeah, here it comes.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
857-557-4 Lou. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Man, we got the worst weather, like a gazillion degrees and rain, and now it's cooled off, which is kind of nice, and I'm sure your house is trying to figure out what the heck is going on, and all you have to do is pick up the phone and give us a call, 857-557-4-LOU. Good morning to Lindsay, to Don, to Andy. How's everybody doing this morning?
Doing well after the rain.
Good morning.
You're all cleansed now with the rain and everything.
Yeah. Right? It was rain dance.
It was loud. Dance. It was really loud last night.
It was really loud. And I have Don and Andy, you don't have dogs, do you?
Yeah.
Just a cat for us.
For cat. Andy, you have a dog?
I have a dog, yeah.
What's your dog's name?
Dog's name is Otis.
Otis, that's right. I knew that. Otis. I have a friend of mine who has a dog named Otis who has one eye.
Oh, really?
One-eyed.
Yeah, and I've never met the dog. I mean, he has two eyes, but he can only see out of one eye.
Ah, okay.
And so he's like Otis the one-eyed dog. And I pass by the house all the time, and I see Otis, and he sees me. I've actually never physically met the dog.
Wow.
Which I would like to meet the dog. And I think Otis is an awesome name for a dog.
Thank you.
The reason I bring that up is we have two dogs. We have Bruno, the wonder dog, and we have Flo, the breed of dog I won't say on the air, and she can't stand the rain.
Okay.
Like, she's out of her mind. And, like, she even knows when the rain is coming, like, hours before.
Pressure
she
change.
She starts running around, something, right? She's running around the house. And it is, she shakes so much. It's like those old beds in the motel where you'd put the quarter in. Literally, you could put, if you were going to make a cocktail, you could put a shaker thing on her and shake it that way and like that. And I feel so badly for her. And, you know.
Hamilton's the same way. Was she our dog? But it's like later in life it happened.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. This is, well, she's 9 now, I guess, you know. Well. And, but anyway, it's. I feel badly for the dog. Everybody's like, oh, you should give her anxiety. I don't want to do that to the dog.
Right.
I don't know. The medicine, like the anxiety medicine, it's a dog.
Right? Totally.
Right. But I feel badly for her.
See, Otis is unique. He does not like water. He won't go in the lake. He walks around puddles. And if it's raining outside, he wants nothing to do with it. But he's fine if he's inside the house. And fireworks are going off, or the thunder and lightning, he's fine. Yeah. If he's outside and sees it, it's another story.
Yeah. Bruno could care less. The other dog, he's like, whatever, I'm over here lying down. Life is good. There could be a shooting outside, God forbid, and he would care about that whatsoever.
I like that.
I know that they used to be an advertiser, like the Thunder shirt.
Oh,
I tried that. Another dog that didn't like the fireworks, I tried that on him, and it didn't work really well, but... it's just, you know, funny with this rain.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. The cat gets clingy a little before the rain gets in. Doesn't really make too much noise, but, starts freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, poor guys. I got a really good word of the day coming up after 7 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
Actually, and I can pronounce it, Lindsay, which I really appreciate that.
It's very good.
Nice. Yeah.
Have you been practicing?
Well, it's not that hard. But I want to quickly tell you about, so I went to go, have any of you, Lindsay, I know the answer to this because we've spoken about this, but Andy or Don, have you any of you ever seen the musical Tommy?
Have not.
Oh, is that the rock opera with the Who?
It is. Who, yeah.
It's at the Goodman right now.
Right, and I've heard.
We went the other night, and it's spectacular.
Nice.
And so, real quick, because this is just like, I know, I am of the age to know about Tommy and the album and all that kind of stuff, but the story, so this is off of Wikipedia. Tommy is the fourth studio album of the English rock band The Who. A double album, first released May 1969. The album was mostly composed by guitarist Pete Townsend and is a rock opera. that tells the story of Tommy Walker. Tommy is traumatized from witnessing his father murder his mother's lover. Okay, so in 1969, there's Pete Townsend, like, coming up with this crazy thing and creating an album with that as the premise.
Right.
Tommy's parents compound his trauma by denying the experience. In reaction, Tommy becomes disassociative, deaf, dumb, and blind, in parentheses. That's kind of the theme, right? Mm-hmm. Tommy then experiences the trauma of being sexually abused. As a way of coping with his trauma, Tommy disassociates further through playing pinball. He gains a following because of his skill of playing pinball. After numerous misguided attempts to heal Tommy, a doctor prescribes him a mirror so he can control himself and his experience. Instead, Tommy becomes self-absorbed and comes to think of himself as a, and I believe this was once a word of the day, messianic figure.
Ooh, I don't think so, but nope. It will be next week.
Mark it down.
When the mirror is eventually broken, Tommy comes out of his disassociative state. Tommy then tries to lead his followers to believe that he is the only path to healing is through him. His followers eventually reject him and his teachings. The production and the cast. If what I just read, right, there's not that much dialogue in the opera. It's an opera. Right,
wow.
Right, Lindsay? I mean, it is an opera. And it is so good. And the cast, they have a couple of small young children that play Tommy at different ages. And then the lead character who plays Tommy, this actor, I looked him up. He was just spectacular. His name is Ali Lewis, boy, tough last name, Brzezicki. And he is really something else. If you have nothing to do and you can find a couple tickets, it is definitely worth your while, for sure.
Nice.
Really, really good.
Cool.
So, very nice. That's my little pick to click today, Tommy the Musical. We're going to talk a little bit later on this morning about another musical that's going on in Highland Park. I'll save that for later on. But let's get this party started this morning. And this is Don't Call Us, We Call You. We got the big wheel in the morning, and we figure out who we're going to call this morning and start our show off this morning. You can call 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. Oh, all right, here we go. We're going to go to Oak Park. I love Oak Park. Beautiful. We'll call you. Our first caller this morning is Linda in Oak Park. Hi, Linda. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, hi, Lou. I hope you can help me figure out my problem.
Me too.
I have a built-in sound. I have a built-in sound system, and I turned it on about a week ago, and it's always on WGN. And suddenly the station
Wait, Linda. As it should be.
Yeah.
As it should
right,
be.
Right, of
okay,
course.
Keep going.
It's stuck there. And anyway, it was scratchy, so I thought, oh, what happened to the station? And it never got better. And I turned on my clock radio, which is a plug-in, and that was the same way. I could turn it and make it come in better. And I checked around the house, and anything inside the house is scratchy like that, and, you know, radio. In my garage, I was pulling my car out. I have the radio on, and it was scratchy until I pulled out of the garage, and then it cleared up completely. And I can't figure out what suddenly happened.
I think you need to move. You need to sell the house, and you need to buy a new house. Has anything changed in the house? Have you purchased anything, a new appliance or anything like that, plugged anything in, a new cord or something like that? Because did you change any light bulbs or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. But a month ago, I had the cable company came out because I was having trouble with my cable.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out, and this is like a month ago, and I still was, my radio was okay, but he put a new wire from the pole to the house. I think he put a new box on the house, and I got a new modem. And on that, I thought I had a Ring doorbell, and I didn't realize it, but that's the day my Ring doorbell stopped working. And I tried to reset it, and it says there's no power. Now, a day or two later, I did see a little light come on the Ring doorbell, but then it disappeared. So it's kind of mysterious.
All right, well, I'm going to back up on the Ring doorbell. Is your Ring doorbell battery operated or hardwired?
No, it's hardwired.
Okay, and there's no power to that, and you haven't fixed that yet.
No, I haven't been able to. I didn't know, where to start.
Right. So that probably, So maybe the reason that is that Ring doorbell works off of a transformer. Are you in a house, Linda?
Yeah, I am.
So I bet you that the transformer to the Ring doorbell is not working, and it's causing interference, which is why the sound is not there. Because the transformer takes the 120 electricity and then brings it down, which then feeds your Ring doorbell. And the fact that that's not working would lead me to believe that you need a new transformer for the doorbell that'll also fix the radio.
Which is actually a new Ring doorbell that I have to get. I mean, the transformer's in the door. No,
the transformer's in the basement somewhere. Because you had
up in my attic.
You had an existing doorbell, correct?
Doorbell.
And they came and wired it up, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, Go ahead.
Actually, whoever my friend or somebody just connected the Ring doorbell. We didn't have to go up to the, do any more connecting than at the doorbell.
Yeah. Do you have a basement?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. More than likely, the transformer's in the basement.
Well, when I had some work done on the house, I think the transformer's in the attic because somebody who was working up there damaged it and the doorbell didn't work and they had to replace the transformer.
Got it. Okay.
And the other thing, too, is I went for 3 weeks without the Ring doorbell not working, and yet suddenly the radio after, many weeks stopped working properly.
Right.
But it seems like I should be going after the doorbell.
I think based on the information you're giving me, that is the logical thing. The other thing, the fact that you said in the car, in the garage, there's some interference that's going on, and I think that it could still be getting power, the transformer, but now it's causing this interference into the AM band. My only other thing is, you have internet in the house, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and do you have a smart speaker? One of those Alexas or a Google Home or anything like that?
Yeah, I do, okay. But that's working fine.
Right, but you can play WGN on that, too.
I know, but it's different. It's not the same.
It is different. You're right.
And I have a speaker system all over the house, I can turn it on anywhere I want.
Yeah. So do you have an electrician that you work with?
Yes, I have. Do they have to be any specialized? Anything that he has to be?
No. A doorbell transformer is actually called low voltage, but most most electricians will service that no problem. So I would contact them, say I talked to a friend of mine, because we're friends, Linda, and this is what he thinks the problem is, and he or she will say, yeah, that sounds about right, and see what happens.
Okay, could I ask you another quick question?
Sure.
I have a garage apron, and it was cement, raw cement, and I painted it, of course, and it's exposed to the outside, and of course it didn't work out very well. How can I fix that so that I can make it look nicer, paint it with something, or remove the existing paint?
How much of the paint that's there came off?
Oh, just scattered here and there. Enough to look crummy.
Yeah. So I would scrape what you can, right? And then I would lightly sand it, right? And just to so you can smooth out those patches. And then use an outdoor concrete and deck paint that is oil-based. Do you know what you painted it with before?
A deck paint, but it probably wasn't oil-based.
It needs to be concrete. But actually, since I'm not 100% sure, then let's stick with a latex product, because the acrylic will stick. It wouldn't be a bad idea to spot patch, spot prime the bare concrete with a little exterior primer, you know, first, mm-hmm. and then paint over right. it with a concrete paint. But it has to be designed for concrete.
Okay, I will do that then. Thanks so much.
All right, let, will you do me a favor? After the electrician comes, if this all works, because I get these kinds of questions all the time about the static and the AM, uh-huh. and will you call right. me back and let me know what happens?
Please? Sure, I will. Thank you.
All right, have a great day.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
Not every station has a handyman on speed dial.
How about Kathleen in Park Ridge?
But this one does.
Bingo. I'm good. How are you, Lou?
Lou Manfredini answers your questions all morning long.
Take a little roller, roll some paint on there, and say, I love it, and then you're done.
Be prepared to be amazed. Now back to your host.
Yes! This will be great.
Lou Manfredini.
I'll have what she's having.
And House Smarts Radio.
I'll make you look. I'll make you double take. Soon as I walk away, call up your chiropractor just in case your neck break. Ooh, tell me what
welcome
you,
back.
What you gonna do.
857-557-4LOU. I was talking to a friend of Quinn and Amy's. They have this dog that they rescued. You know, we were talking about dogs early this morning in the rain. And she was telling me the dog's name is Murphy. And he was like, he lived in a hoarder's house when they rescued him, like the dog. So they can't get the dog to eat out of a bowl because the dog, when it was growing up, just ate whatever that was in the house. So they take the food in a bag and they just put it on the floor.
Stop.
And the dog eats all the food. Like if they put the food in a bowl, the dog won't eat it.
Huh.
But if they put it on the floor, just in front of the dog, he devours it. And they said the dog has like an iron stomach, and she was saying the friend of Quinn's and Amy's, they went on some trip, and she left her backpack on the ground. Remember, the dog's always looking for food. Goes in the backpack, like rips open the backpack, and swallows 20 Advil gel packs, gel pills.
Oh my God!
And all the Tums because they just gotten back from a trip, and they took the dog to the vet, and they're like, "Yeah, the dog's fine."
Oh my God.
They're like, the vet was like, maybe the Tums counteracted the...
Totally.
Is that so funny? I mean, the dog's... And I met the dog. The dog's a great dog. Now, if you give it a treat, it'll take two of your fingers off. Because it's like that's its thing. Very sweet, but how about that? The food on the ground.
Yeah. Everyone has our thing. We all have our things.
We all have our things. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. This is Ann in Palatine. Hi, Ann. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is about the installation of a dehumidifier in our crawl space. A company came out on Wednesday and finally agreed to put in a new unit because the other one wasn't working, right? And they wouldn't put it in unless I signed a waiver of liability holding me to the warranty period for the previous one they had installed. So now I have a new dehumidifier with only a year and a half to go on the warranty. And to me, that just didn't sound right because it is new equipment. Shouldn't it have its own warranty of 5 years like the previous one?
Okay, so the original unit you've had installed for 4 years?
Yes, and they installed it.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so it's under warranty and it became defective? It stopped working?
Well, they had come out four different times to try and get it working. Each time it would work for a while, and then it wouldn't. And then they'd come out and give it probably a good kick, and it would start up again. So finally on the fourth, I know, finally on the fourth time, I argued them into putting in a new unit because that was just getting ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And when you originally purchased, so I'm not a lawyer, okay? But I don't know, like when you originally, you know, if it has a 5-year warranty, right?
Right.
Then, I mean, then.
Isn't the manufacturer giving you the warranty?
Yeah,
so
right,
really
right.
No skin off their nose.
Well, right. I mean, so to me, I think it's, I mean, I suppose, well, okay, so, like, if you put in a new roof, okay, so the big thing, if you go get a new roof, right, they'll say it has a 35-year warranty, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, oh, my God, that's amazing, 35-year warranty. Well, in year 10, if the thing, you know, fails for some reason, they prorate the material, right? And so they'll say, okay, lady, you know, you, Ann, we were giving you a new roof, and you paid X. And that typically is only for the material, right? So they don't give you, you know, $5,000 for the material or the labor. They'll say, we're going to give you a check for $500. I'm just making the numbers up, but it's less, okay? Now, to me, what would be more reasonable is that you would get a 5-year warranty, but if they have to on the product itself, but if there's some labor involved in there, then maybe that's reasonable. But if they're supplying the product, you know, like if I hire a plumber to put in a toilet and he or she provides the toilet, right? And 6 months in, the toilet doesn't work. They're going to come and change out that toilet and the labor, you know, because they put it all in. And that is a reasonable expectation, right? So
I thought so, too.
It seems to be, it's a reasonable expectation that if I'm swapping out and putting a brand new unit in, then you just have to lick your wounds as the company and say, now, I don't know if there's some prior agreement that I don't know of, you know, like when you first purchased it, if in the fine print of all this, you know, it says something like that. Again, I'm not an attorney. I'm just trying to come at it from a kind of a reasonable common sense logic thing. So, you know, or maybe there's some happy medium, right? Well, hey, lady, you used it, but you said you've had the thing for 4 years and it didn't work like from the beginning, or it worked fine for a couple years?
It worked fine for a couple years, and then increasingly it would stop, and I could tell that the humidity level was going up, and then I'd call them and come out.
Mm. And did they charge you when they came out?
No, they did not.
So that was all covered under your warranty?
That was all, yes, all fine.
Yeah. I think what I would try and do is, if the new one is 5 year, you know, because the problem with this is it's aggravating, right? And, you know, and I get that everybody wants to have their own way. I get that, right? But the world's full of compromise, right? So if you had the thing for a couple years and then okay, it's a machine, right? Machines can break and have a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. So what's reasonable, I would think, and then you get kind of, in my mind, a best of both worlds. You get a newer unit, they come and install it, and how about instead of the 5 year, we split it and you give me 2.5 years?
Well, they are giving me the last year and a half. Now, I could ask for another year on it. That's
right.
In the box for the new unit, there is a warranty registration card.
Right.
So
with the manufacturer.
Right.
Right. But the problem is what they're probably going to have to do if they sign that is, you know, they're going to take the serial number off this unit and they're going to send that to the manufacturer. And then if you have an issue, you know, you're going to trigger like, oh, hey, lady, you know, you only got a year and a half on this one, you know. So to me.
Oh, so that isn't a.
Well, because they're the dealer of this. Right. And so they've got some connection. Right. If it were me, I would say, look, I want is the full 5 years. And it seems like you're unwilling to do that. I didn't do anything wrong, right? I purchased the thing for you. I did everything you told me to do. I had you come and fix it, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I appreciate all your efforts. This is, Anne, this is the Lou Manfredini method of killing people with kindness, right? Don't get don't get mad. Just be kind and reasonable and say, I know you don't want to give me the 5 years. I kind of feel like I deserve the 5 years, but how about this? I did get to use it for 2 years. You did come and do all the work. How about we split it and we do 2.5 years once you install it, and we'll call it a day? Because in theory, if this thing was working, you're now getting, it's like you're buying a certified used product.
Yes.
Right. If it was working, you'd be out of warranty in a year. Right? Or a year and a half.
Oh.
Now you're getting another year and you're getting another unit. for no extra right. for no ex for no extra money, correct?
That's true.
Kill them.
Okay, well then how do I get through to these people?
Exactly.
For my compromise.
Play back what I just said and be really nice. Just exactly what I just said. Just say, I want 5 years. You don't want to give that to me. I didn't do anything wrong. I called you. You came back several times. I so appreciate that. But if you're going to give me a new unit, right, because maybe this should have been replaced had they done this 2 years ago or a year ago, I probably would have been, said, okay, fine to that. But now I'm only getting a year and a half. And these problems started when the unit was 2 years old. How do I know that the unit the new one's not going to have that done? You know what I mean? So how about you give me 2.5 years? So it's another year of warranty that they roll the dice on, and it seems reasonable to me.
Okay, that is one approach. I'll give you that. What about if I went to the Better Business Bureau and filed a claim?
Well, I mean, you could do that.
Or is that like hitting ants with a sledgehammer?
Well, to me, it's like hitting ants with a sledgehammer. I mean, everybody immediately goes to that, and I get it, right? So at the end of the day, you can dig in, right? But then they dig in, and
right.
How about you try a little sugar first before you go with the vinegar?
Okay.
And then,
you're the expert. I will definitely try that.
Well, I'm just the expert of, I don't have to put any sugar. Yes. I don't put any sugar in my coffee. You know why? Because I'm sweet enough. So just be
That's
nice.
True. Okay.
And call me
Thank
back.
You so
wait,
much.
Wait. That's and do help. Me a favor. Call me back after this and tell me what happens, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great day.
You too, because I can tell you where to buy a good sledgehammer, too. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. I love that line. Do you like sugar? You need any sugar for your coffee? No. Sweet enough. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Getting ready to tackle those home improvement projects on your own?
Do I need to fan that out a little bit? And then put some mud over it, or what's the best way to do that?
You can do it. Give it a shot.
How good are you at doing mud work, John?
And if you need any help, Lou's here to walk you through it.
Well, I'm about to find out.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5, and then he
Welcome
takes
back. 857-557-4LOU. This is Phil in Algonquin. Hey, Phil, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Long-time listener. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thank you for being a long-time listener. That's very kind of you. What's going on today?
I just wanted to make a quick comment on the warranty issue that your previous caller had. And it had to do, I'm in HVAC plumbing, and it's not the contractor that is holding that warranty. It's the manufacturer. For example, if you have a water heater installed, standard warranty is 6 years.
Right.
But if the water heater fails in 3 years, you get a new water heater. But if that water heater fails just after the 6 years because it's a new water heater, it's only prorated for 6 years.
Wait. I'm going to stop you because I want to follow your line of what you're telling me. So I get a water heater. It has a 6-year warranty. If it fails
Correct.
At 3 years, the manufacturer is going to give that customer or the plumber, whomever, a new water heater, correct?
Correct.
And then now 3 years in, I have another water heater installed. How long is that warranty?
So if it's a warranty water heater installed, it's still only good for the original water heater 6 years. You do not get another 6-year warranty.
Why?
And that's where I was making a comment with the customer you just had. She had a 5-year warranty on a dehumidifier. The humidifier was replaced under the warranty for 4 years. She does not get an extended 5 years. She only gets, the manufacturer will only give you up to the original warranty of the original product only.
So now, wait, not, okay, so now the same water heater that I have installed fails at 5 years and 9 months.
You get a new water heater, but you do not get another full 6 years.
I get
you only get the remaining couple months left out that water heater.
Really?
Yes. And that, and actually, that goes for furnaces, air conditioners, dehumidifiers. It's mainly,
you know, I'm gonna steal a line from John Williams, because John Williams says this a lot. When I'm king, I don't like that. I mean, because
I know, right?
Because if I make a, if I am buying this, if I'm making this product, and I say, I am so confident that this water heater, to use your example, is going to be six, you know, you're going to have no problems in 6 years. If you don't, you know, blah, 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 I'm going to replace it. No problem. But if I put a new one in there,
correct,
that's just the deal. I need to, if it keeps failing in 3 years, I need to make a better water heater.
Absolutely. And the other thing customers need to remember is filling out the warranty information the day it was installed.
Right.
So I'm going to use a water heater as an example. If you do not fill out the warranty information, you're only going to get the warranty from the date of the manufacturer's made date on the product.
Right.
Because they need proof that
you purchased
shelf life is set for a year and a half.
Right.
You know, you want to always make sure you fill out that warranty information. It is so critical.
Right. It could have been made. It could have been made in September, but it didn't get installed until the following February. And so they're going to say, well, we made it in September, so that's when the warranty starts. Well, I didn't. The lady didn't put it in until February. Well, you didn't fill out your registration card. Goofy.
Exactly. So I'm kind of speaking for all the contractors out there that go through this. It's not the contractor that is producing the warranty.
Yeah.
It's the manufacturer's product.
But the problem is the contractor's getting all the, they're the ones that the customer's mad at.
Yes, exactly. We don't make the product. We sell the product. We install the product. We'll back our labor, our materials that we use to install that product. But the product labor is the manufacturer that made it.
You said you're an HVAC tech. You're in that business.
Yes.
And do you know of any manufacturers that have that do it differently on the warranty or no?
You know what? They all pretty much follow the same program. They might tweak it a little different between one manufacturer to another. But there is one manufacturer that I do like a lot as far as how they replace their units.
Mm-hmm.
One manufacturer, if there's something wrong with the unit, let's say an air conditioner, a compressor goes bad, they don't want us changing out the compressor under warranty. They just want us to replace the whole unit, where everybody else gives you a compressor to change out.
Yeah. Who's that?
So, Amana, Daikin Company.
Yeah. Daikin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
you're a good man, Charlie Brown. I appreciate the information. That's very helpful for everybody.
Thank you for having me on.
Wally Phillips would be very happy. People helping people. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away.
It's hot out there, Chicago. Lou Manfredini's here with all your tips. And here he is now, right here on House Smarts Radio.
Oh, it's too hot.
And then Lindsay said,
oh,
I didn't know, I've never heard of this song.
Me neither.
How about you, Don?
Nope, this is my first, but I like
first
it.
Time hearing it?
Come yep.
On. Come on, this is a groove right here.
We're so young.
A little Cool in the Gang.
Is it?
A little Cool in the Gang, too hot.
Cool in the Gang.
Yeah.
Wait. And there's a great sax solo at the end. You know, I used to play the saxophone, and I used to try and play it. It's such a good sax solo.
Excellent.
It's really good. Like, it's like, lady, hey, baby, it's too hot.
Ladies, right? Man. That's
back in the day. Okay, so a couple things. 857-5574, Lou. Our word of the day. Dun-dun-dun-dun. That's what we need. We need, remember the thing? Remember the imperial butter?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Remember?
That, yes, I do.
That's what we need. That's the sounder we need for the word of the day. Wasn't it Imperial?
I think it was.
Yes.
I like it.
I'm having my own little show in my head here.
I'm right there with you. Right. What does that say about me today?
Flummox.
Oh,
that's a great one.
It's a verb. Perplex someone greatly to confuse. Kind of like
right
this
now.
Show. Like right now.
Success.
Success. I'm done. Right. Here we go. I got it. I just did my job. Okay. Gentlemen and lady, have we seen the two hot summer movies yet?
No.
No. Tuesday night, Gretchen and I are going to go see Barbie.
Okay. Are you doing the Barbie Hyman?
No.
Were they doing both together?
I think I'm going to wait for Oppenheimer to come out because 3 hours in such a dark movie seems like a lot for a
so
theater.
So I'm with yesterday our son and daughter-in-law and some of their friends, their contemporaries, and my wife has gone to see Barbie, friends of hers.
Mm.
And she said, she comes out of Barbie and she says, if you want to be a modern man, you have to go see Barbie.
Right on.
That's what she said to me.
All right.
Because it's like this whole empowerment thing. And it's like, it's not what you think it is. And she said, our daughter Carmen has seen it twice. She
really?
Says, do you Whoa. Think that Ryan Gosling could get an Academy Award for his performance? Because supposedly he steals the show.
I believe it.
And he's easy on the eyes.
Right. Right on.
Easy.
Easy it's listening. Hot out there, Chicago.
Anyway, you said, so I was talking with these younger people about the movie, and I have not seen the movie, and we said, can Lindsay take her daughters, 10 and 8, right?
Mm.
And they said, yeah, there's nothing offensive. There's a lot of messages in it that they all said, would go over their heads.
Right. It is like, PG-13,
but
right,
the message
Barbie?
Is good.
Yeah, I think Barbie, it is PG-13, right? I believe it
is. Yeah, it's like a tease, though. You know, my kids see these, like, pink commercials everywhere.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
They're like,
right.
Ooh,
totally
enamored by the Barbie stuff. And now it's like, no, you can't go see it.
Right. Yeah. I did see something in the elevator on the way up to start mixing beets with your foods for Barbie pink foods.
Oh, yeah, I saw that, too,
yeah.
In the elevator, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
You guys are getting all your ideas from the elevator.
Yeah, don't we all now? Those capture screens are, like, everywhere.
Right, right. Just sitting there, like, you don't have to look at anybody and make
no,
contact.
Look at the screen.
Straight at it. Silence.
So, I don't know. I think I almost wonder whether you need to go see the Barbie movie with some girlfriends.
I thought about that. Who has time for that?
I'm
right.
just telling you. I'm just trying to be. I'm trying to. I'm
I
trying
need immediate
to.
Immediate action. I need to take them today.
Well, here's what I know. You're not taking them to see Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Okay? And I'm a little concerned. I don't know anything. I mean, I'm super excited to see Oppenheimer because I've read a lot about the gentleman and the whole Manhattan Project. But, you know, there's a whole thing when I was in high school, I did a research paper on Enrico Fermi. Anyone?
Mm.
Yeah. Isn't he the father of something, right?
Fermi Labs,
right? Yeah.
Enrico Fermi, anyone? Crickets?
Physicists?
He is the father of the chain reaction.
Yeah, see, I knew he was the father of something.
Right, so he, under the football stands at the University of Chicago, created the first chain reaction of splitting an atom, which then led to the development of the atomic bomb.
Mm.
So, proving once again, Italians always come up with the cool stuff. Now, you could argue that it's not so cool, but there is some positives to nuclear power and fission, right?
Oh, totally.
Right? So, anyway. What?
I'm very flummoxed by your...
Clearly. Okay. Totally proved it right there.
Still flummoxed.
But you got right. flummoxed out.
But evidently, my point is, I don't believe he's in the movie.
Oh, I see.
What the heck is being an important part of it?
Yeah.
What the heck, Nolan?
Why are you down on the Italians on the Oppenheimer movie? What's going on?
Where are you at, Nolan? Answer this. This is terrible.
Right. Enrico Fermi. Anyway.
He's the man.
So flummox is your word, gentlemen and lady. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. This is Janice in Cape Cod. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
Oh, my God. You need to look Lindsay's sister. Is she in Cape Cod right now? Is your sister there now?
No, they left already, but...
Oh, Lindsay's sister was there.
Did you already...
Oh.
Lindsay's mom's there. So if you see Lindsay's mom, say hello.
I will indeed.
How may I help you?
So we have a house that's a year and a half old, and we have been having problems with the electricity, where it's blinking off and on. And it definitely, when it draws a lot of electricity, like if the AC goes on or something, the lights will dim and then come right back. But the fun thing is when we run the washer, the when the drum goes back and forth, the lights blink to the movement of the drum.
Wow.
And some of the, it's fun. And some of the lights are on dimmers.
Right.
We're going to have a disco party. And some of the lights are not on dimmers. So we had...
It's a brand new house.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And we had Eversource, which is the electric company, come out and check the outside, and they said everything was fine. We've had three electricians come over. They all see the problem, but nobody knows what to do.
Oh, I love that we have all the electricians, and now I get you call me. All right, let me ask you this.
I waited to call
you. No, you're very kind. Okay, so do you have a 200-amp service in the house?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a new development, and you've already contacted the service provider?
Yes.
And what have they said?
They said that the problem is on the inside of the house, not the outside, but they did replace, I don't know, whatever was on the outside of the house just in case that it was the problem, but there was no difference.
It the meter socket?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this. In Cape Cod, does your meter socket, so outside where the electric meter is, does your power come in overhead or underground?
Overhead.
Okay. Do you have an outside disconnect on the house? Like when you look at the meter socket, is there a switch that if there was a fire, the fire department would undo the power?
Yes.
I think that there's something going on. So there's three wires coming in from the service, and maybe the neutral wire is let me think about this. Hold on, I'm drawing something on the. Talk to the electricians about the neutral wire coming from the service. Is it connected? Okay. Is it connected to what's called the top bus of the disconnect switches? And then the disconnect switch, you know, so in other words, if you imagine there's three, so imagine that there's three wires, right? And I have the three wires in my hand and I have another three wires in my other hand. When I bring them all together, they're connected, correct? And
okay.
So,
yes.
But now if I had a switch in between those, right? And the wires in there, when I turn them off, those three wires are disconnected. They're not making contact. If you took the neutral wire and bypassed the switch so that's connected, because that's not a power line, it helps to complete the circuit, would that potentially alleviate the problem? You shouldn't be having all this flickering and stuff.
No. Okay.
I'm not an electrician. I'm not, you know, so I want to preface that, and I'm sure that these people know what they're talking about, but it sounds to me like there's just one little thing that's off, and that might be the thing that corrects it.
Yep. Okay, great. Well, I'll definitely ask them about it. Right. Thank you so much.
Call me back, okay?
I will. Thanks so much, Lou.
857-557-4Lou. I love the people that listen on the stream. That's awesome. I know it's different, but it sounds amazing. 857-557-4Lou, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You want to hear a story?
How would you say this word? TIEDT'S.
I milked cat ones.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
Any other way but teats.
Your proven Saturday morning winner.
Tides? Tight? Anyone?
My sister had a cat, and the cat birthed a litter of kittens.
And he's taking your calls live right now.
There was this one little runt who couldn't really get access to the...
I said the name of the place was Teats Nursery. So we're just calling the nursery and...
Teats, this is Val. May I help you?
To the... Teat.
Val, how do I pronounce the name of the nursery? That's a family name, right?
Yeah, it's Teat.
Teat?
Teat. Teat Nursery. Okay, perfect. All right, well, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Is now when I get the apology? Is this now when I would get the apology?
Now back to Lou.
Is it too late now to say sorry? Geppetto. That's what I named it, Geppetto.
And House Smarts Radio.
Just having our own little good time here. 857-5574-LOU is our phone number. This is Kathy in Arlington Heights. Hi, Kathy. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hello, and how are you this morning?
I am fabulous. How are you?
I'm very puzzled, and I'm hoping you could solve the problem.
All right. I love puzzles.
I live... Okay, well, good, because this is a tough one, and I'm going to try to explain this to you the best I can.
All right. Show's over at 10, but do your best.
Okay, I'll do my best. I live in a condo in a four-story brick building, and I'm on the second floor at the end of the building. The building was built at the late 60s. I'm having water coming in different areas, but it's not really water. It's just the beginning where, you know, you're starting to see, like, the little brown stains on the ceiling.
Okay.
What I've noticed, last summer, I did have water come in when we had one of those freaky sideways rains, and one of the bedrooms, it's a two-bedroom unit, one of the bedrooms had water pouring in, and the water stains went, I'm going to try to describe this, from the window to the back of my unit, okay? And you could see where it traveled along the beam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we fixed that problem. All right.
We fixed that problem because there was a leak in the window in the unit above or the brick above? How did we fix that?
No, in my unit, the window, all the caulking and mortar or whatever around the window, there were holes in it.
Right. But hold on. Wait 1 second.
Okay.
So you had.
Okay.
So that window was leaking and it was the ceiling, but you said the ceiling above was where the water was.
No. It came in all around the window.
Got it. Okay.
From above.
All right. Just trying to follow along.
The side.
Got it.
Yeah. And it looks like, okay. And then from the window to the back of the unit, okay, which goes towards the hallway,
mm-hmm.
you know, the common area hallway. And you could see where it traveled along the beam. Okay, so I'm assuming the beams go from the window.
Hold on,
to the
hold
back
on. Kathy, I need you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
As we're putting this puzzle together, you know, because when you do a puzzle, you want to do the edge pieces first, right? So I can tell that we have to talk more about this, but I have to go to the news. So what I want to do is I want to put you on hold, all right? So don't go anywhere because... I am going to come back to you after the news, but I got to go to the news, so don't go anywhere, and we'll continue this conversation. It's like a tease, right? And we'll hear more from Kathy coming
because
up.
Because her issue is very flummoxing.
Boom.
Our flagship product, the Toto Aquia.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. Automatic lid, air dry, heated seat, bidet, and a unique glazed throat that eliminates debris.
Oh, that sounds great, but do you have any toilets?
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
It's probably a little out of our price range.
It's $4,000.
Trying to keep it simple.
Do you have one that you could just sit on and go poop?
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
All All right, this is normally when we do our Noodaloo 2, but we were talking with Kathy in Arlington Heights. All right, Kathy, we're back to you.
Okay.
All right, so now we're at the back of our condo, and you're looking up at the ceiling and you're seeing water?
Okay, this is kind of a two-part situation.
All right, are we on the second part?
Well, before we broke, I was telling you that I noticed that when the water came in into the one bedroom, it was going from front to back.
The
traveled along the beams. Okay, well now what's happening is and my unit is a rectangle, and now what I'm finding is there's leakage in the bathroom. And my maintenance people have said it's not coming from the unit upstairs. And I've got somebody coming in this week to cut a hole in the ceiling to see where it's coming from. But the other situation is what I've noticed. My unit is at the end of the building, and my second bedroom backs up to the stairwell. You know, it's a black cinder block stairwell at the end of the building. Well, what I've noticed is in the second bedroom now, going from the opposite direction, I'm finding like along the ceiling line in various spots, like the width of my apartment, there's little brown spots, like where there's some water, and this is going sideways, and then in the center of the ceiling, it looks like where the drywall seams meet, it's starting to show the seams, and like it looks like it's kind of flexible, if you will, or it's not smooth. Okay.
Okay.
Now, when I touch it, it's not wet, it's not soft, but with all the rain we've been having, I'm finding it more and more, and it's like the sideways stains go from the end of the unit by the stairwell through to the opposite end in various spaces going in the opposite direction of what my first leak was coming from. So does that make sense to you so far?
Completely confused, but I have all this information, so now I'm going to try.
I'm showing you with my hand while I'm talking.
Right. I am completely flummoxed by this whole thing. I'm going to give myself.
So am I.
All right. So hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm in the bathroom and I'm looking up above in the shower or the tub, and there's a leak up there, correct?
It's not exactly a leak. It's all bubbling.
Right. But there's something going on above you. In the bathroom.
Yeah.
Now, hold on, stop there. Now, when I get out of the bathroom and I go to either side of the bathroom, there's also some sign of some water near the bathroom or near the outside walls?
Okay. It's like when you come out of the bathroom, you're in the hallway.
So you go
into one bedroom and then you turn left and go to the other bedroom, which is where the at the end of the unit. It's almost like.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Hold on.
Okay.
So there's a bedroom completely next to the bathroom.
It's not next to it. It's the closet. Well, yeah, I guess it is, because it's like the bathroom and then it's the bedroom closet.
Okay. So when I'm in that bedroom and I look up, I see no evidence of any water.
It's not the water, but it's staining.
Right. No. Don't. Okay.
Okay.
It's water. Let's go with it's water. Nothing is. You're not smoking, are you? You're not spitting up on the ceiling, right? So it's water.
No.
Hold on. I'm trying. I understand.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me move this thing along, because pretty soon we're going to really run out of time. Then when I go, is there another bedroom on the other side of this bedroom where the staining is?
The staining, where the original staining came in, is the middle of the unit.
Got it.
I'm seeing the new staining is at the end. It's at where
Which
the
is at the complete
is.
Other end of where the bathroom is. Bathroom's not anywhere close.
It's, well, yes. I mean, it's down the hall. Let's just put it that way.
Got it.
Down
okay.
the hall.
So I'm going to go with, there's two things happening here. I think that opening up the ceiling in the bathroom is the right thing to do. This is condo living 101 where you've got these problems.
Right.
And it could be because water can travel. So the fact that you say, well, I see a little bit of staining and I don't see water, but then I go further along and I see more water. Water can travel, right? And it can either be a leak in the tub where the tile meets the shower up above you. It could be a leak in the drain. And the fact that, you know, that it's kind of more prevalent, I'm assuming, in the bathroom, yes?
Yeah.
Then that is the place to start.
Okay.
And
that's
when
where we're starting.
And when they do this hole, okay, make sure it's big enough so they can see it. You got to patch the hole anyway, right? So make sure that that is big enough so that they can stick their head up there and put a flashlight up there and see everything that they have and try and determine what's going on and see if the water can travel. I am running out of time. I got to move on, but I so appreciate you calling this morning and helping us to hopefully solve this puzzle of your water dilemma. But I think it's all starting from the bat. The bathroom.
Time
for
Noodle 2.
I just love noodles.
No, not noodle. New to. New to Lou.
Good times, noodle salad.
No noodles. It's new to Lou. But he does love a good pasta.
Now we eat, okay? One up, I eat everybody.
Now back to Lou Manfredini. New to Lou 2 and House Smarts Radio.
Papa's got a brand new bed.
That was kind of like a road trip, right? It's like we were driving to, I don't know, Nashville. Hey, our Noodle 2 is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. When you need a new ride, you need a new Chevy.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
And our Noodle 2 today, I wasn't sold on it when it came. And then after listening to what Lindsay put together, now I'm kind of liking it from a standpoint of its ability to be portable. And not have to have as much stuff with you when it comes to cleaning. You know, there's a lot of different cleaning products and things you can do. Well, this is kind of an interesting solution. Take a listen.
Imagine only having to carry one sprayer and four small cartridges to clean your entire house, recreation vehicle, cottage, apartment, or boat. Well, our new Tulu 2 this weekend is an all-in-one cleaning system, and it's called the Extreme Eco Multi-Sprayer. The Extreme Eco Multi-Sprayer is a proprietary cleaning system that allows you to switch from one cleaning solution to another with just one sprayer. As I wrote this review on the sprayer, I was trying to think of what it reminds me of. After some toying in my head, it dawned on me. Have you ever gotten a spray tan?
Huh?
Hear me out. Not the spray tan booth where it sprays for you, but the kind where you stand there, buck wild, posing like Barbie, while an actual person is spraying you with their little spray device. Well, that device is what it reminds me of. The base of the Extreme Eco Sprayer is a reservoir that you fill with water from the tap, and then choose whichever of the four powerful cleaning concentrates you need for the task at hand. Click it into place and get to work. With more in the works, the four cleaning concentrates that come in the value pack are a multi-cleaner, a glass cleaner, an odor and stain eliminator, and a scale and scum remover. They were all originally formulated for industrial applications in the food service, agriculture, oil and gas, landfill and waste management, and hospitality sectors. And they were created as an effective and eco-friendly alternative to the toxic stuff that's normally used. But today, the Extreme Eco Sprayer and its concentrates are available for you in the home. It's tough to find a green solution that actually works and at a lower cost. Just one of those 2-ounce concentrate bottles is equivalent to a 26-ounce bottle. So, sounds like a win-win to me. And the entire value system can be yours for just $79.95. To find out more, check out Lou's House Smarts YouTube channel and be sure to click that subscribe button while you're there.
Okay, I have some questions.
I had a feeling.
You stand in a spray booth and someone sprays you and you're not wearing any clothes? Is that what?
Well, I mean, you can wear like your bathing suit.
So people do that.
So, yeah.
don't know. Like someone you don't know, like you just go there. Hi, I'd like a spray tan. Hi, I'm Susie or
it just gets like
Jimmy.
It's more customized than like when you
have you ever done that where it's been someone of the opposite sex that does the spraying?
No.
That's like a thing? Like pretty much? I don't know.
I don't know if maybe people do that, but I have not. No. But I will say that one of like a bebopper mom, you know?
Yeah.
Like is a spray tanner.
Like she gets spray tans? Like oh, no, that's her job.
She gives them. And I'm like, hey, Miss, here's Miss Lindsay.
Like you know her. And you're like talking. What do you think about the Barbie movie?
Totally. So funny. Yep.
And the spray bottle kind of looks like that?
It does. And it's kind of got this big base.
Right.
With that you hold. It's like you hold in your hand, you know, and then you spray.
Spray. Right.
And you can put in multiple cleaners.
All I remember about spray tanning is that our daughters, like when they went to prom, they both, like they had to be spray tanned, which is the, I mean, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
You've seen the pictures. I get it. And they look a little orange.
Well, bronze, sun-kissed.
Orange. I was like, wow. You know, it's like, I don't want to be like a fuddy-duddy. But I'm like, really? You're these two beautiful young women with orange.
I feel them, though. I get it. I do the same thing. Going on a vacation, just get a little, like, color. Anyway, the Noodaloo 2 is
great. Oh, it has nothing to do with spray tan. So it has these little cartridges that you click in. It's a lot. Like, I think that they sent me more stuff than what you would get. Like, they sent me bigger, like, refill bottles and stuff. To try. I did try the glass cleaner. You fill the bottle with water. And you know what it reminded me of is like, you know, the wet and forget extreme reach hose end. That system is, it uses the garden hose and the concentrate and mixes it through. So the bottle is the secret sauce where it, you know, it just does it. And I sprayed it on some glass, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on though. Like that bottle and then the little cartridge there locks in place. But I was thinking the thing you said about camping and cleaning and that kind of stuff. Right. You put the one bottle in a bucket or a boat and it's all there. One spray bottle. Oh, I'm going to clean the glass. Click. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to clean the upholstery. Click. There's an odor eliminator. Click. It's a good one. I like it. Good job.
I know. I mean, think of the big. We have a huge laundry tub of all our cleaners in our house. And it's overflowing. This would be one and done.
All right. Kathy in Arlington Heights has me very behind. You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, and we're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini. He's taking your calls all morning right here on House Smarts Radio.
We're back to the phone lines. This is Gary in Huntley. Hey, Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I last talked to you about 15 years ago when I retired and moved to Arizona full time. But now I've wised up and I've moved back to Illinois and now I'm a snowbird. And I have a question. I'm building an unheated shed down in Arizona.
Okay.
And I'm just going to use it for like a laundry room and just for storage for, you know, tables and chairs and picnic stuff. And I'm wondering, is it any good? Would it be worth insulating that shed?
You're not going to heat it or cool it at all?
No.
How big is
it? I really won't be down.
How big is this shed?
It's 8 by 10.
No. And you won't be there, so you won't be there in the heat of the summer?
No. I just plan, you know, again, for just the winter.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's a reason to. The only thing I will tell you is that make sure that, you know, obviously it's a dry heat down there. I don't have to tell you. You've been there for 15 years. But make sure you got proper venting, right? Maybe even, are you going to build it or are you going to buy one and have them put it on a little slab?
They already built it. It's already built, yeah. It's on the slab.
Oh, it's already there?
Yes.
Yeah, don't insulate it. Now, I have a question. If we spoke 15 years ago, how's retirement been for you?
Retirement's been wonderful.
You got plenty to do?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I have a lot to do. I kept busy when I was down in Arizona doing some, you know, part-time things.
Yep.
We came back to Illinois because of the grandkids.
So my dear friend Joe Wisniewski, who just retired after 40 years at his career, the one and only job he had out of college, and he's a lovely man, and he shared this story with me. I think I've said it on the air before, and I want to see if you agree. He says, you know, when you're going to retire, someone gave him this advice years ago, you have to be able to answer yes to the three H questions. You know what those are?
No.
Do you have enough? Have you had enough? And do you have something to do?
I would say yes to all those questions.
Attaboy.
Yes.
Attaboy.
Attaboy.
Good for you.
You have to have something to do.
Good.
That's very important.
Good. Well, the one thing you don't have to do is insulate that shed.
Okay. Thanks, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I may not be living in Chicago, but I can still listen to my dad on House Smarts Radio. It's like I can't shake the guy. Now I know how my mom feels.
That's funny.
It's so cheesy.
Full of bad dad jokes.
I know that's exactly how you wrote it to be read, too.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
She's moving into a new apartment today.
Illinois Central.
Down in New Orleans. Just sent me a picture of her behind the wheel of a U-Haul truck.
15 cars and 15 restless
the
riders.
Best part about that picture is I'm not behind the wheel of the U-Haul truck.
25 sacks on me.
Good luck, Mal. Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. We're here until 10 o'clock this morning. Later on today, we're going to have a conversation with the folks at Redo Cabinets. You may have heard them on the radio. They're a new advertiser. I had a chance to go out and see their facility. Pretty impressive, and might be a way for you to save some money on renovating your kitchen or even your bathroom, which is kind of cool. One other thing on a personal note. You know, our son Massimo is an aspiring actor, and he's heading to New York in the fall to get a master's in fine arts. But this summer, along with working, he was cast in a production of The Addams Family that opened last night at the Uptown Music Theater of Highland Park. And I haven't even spoken to him on the opening night because it, you know, ended late and I went to bed. We're going to go see the show today. We're very excited about it. And the Uptown Music Theater in Highland Park is a young theater that's all about community and creativity and wisdom and instilling hope and inspiration through the art of storytelling. So the Addams Family is running July 28th through the 30th and August 4th through the 6th, and it's at the Northwood Theater. And if you'd like information about the show, you can go to the website, which is the Uptown Theater of Highland Park, and their website is umthp.org, and let's see, I'm clicking on here, yeah, and then there's tickets available, and yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. I'm very excited for them. I'm sure the production went well. He said it's very funny, and he had a full crowd last night, not us, but a bunch of friends and family were there last night, and we're looking forward to today's production. So congratulations to everybody in the cast and to our son and the Addams Family musical. He said it's really, really funny, so might be a fun thing to do this summer. 857-5574-LOU. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Tim in Orland Park. Hey, Tim, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, I have a plumbing problem that's driving me crazy. We installed a new full bathroom on a lower level, and from day one, the toilet will not get good suction. It won't get a good flush. And so I've tried snaking the thing out, I've also tried getting on the roof and cleaning out the stack vent, seeing if there was any obstructions, but nothing. To make things worse, when I go to put on the faucet and have it run for about 20 seconds, the toilet starts bubbling. So I'm at a loss.
Was the plumbing, like the sub plumbing in the lower level, meaning that it's over like a concrete floor?
It is correct.
And was that
the floor that we hit?
Was that all
jacked out and
okay
attached?
So it was jacked out. You had a licensed plumber do all that work?
Yes.
Okay. And do you recall at all when that all went in?
So the house is from the 50s. We put in the bathroom maybe 6 months ago. So it was new plumbing connected to some old stuff.
Okay.
There is a stand-up shower where that floor drain works just fine. No problems with that. It's just the toilet.
And when you turn on the faucet, the toilet bubbles.
Correct. Yeah. We've tried taking the toilet off and hand snaking that thing, going 15 to 25 feet, reinstalled the toilet a few times and thought we had some success, and then the bubbling comes back.
We got two different things going on here. Okay, so the suction part of the toilet, that is a toilet issue, not a drain issue. And so
okay,
who's the manufacturer of the toilet?
I had to double check if it's a Kohler. It's not an off brand.
Okay. All right. So I want you to try this. It makes no sense that this is a newer toilet, but you know, it's a manufacturing thing. I want you to get a coat hanger, and I want you to take it apart, a metal coat hanger, take it apart, and take the end of the tip, and so you make a little, like, inch and a half long part of the coat hanger, and each individual hole under the rim of the toilet, I want you to scrape and make sure that there's no China enamel finished that in the manufacturing of it is clogging those holes at all, so they're open wide up, okay? And that spinning action is what helps the toilet to flush to give you the kind of suction that I assume you're having problems mostly with solids to go down. That should improve the action of the toilet, okay? So that's one thing. Now,
okay.
The toilet bubbling when you turn on the faucet, and it not even if you fill up the sink, just turn on the faucet.
Well, yeah, run the faucet for about 20 seconds, and then it starts bubbling up.
Yeah, so that is, there's something wrong with the drain connection. That all I can think of is that when they went into the wall and they went down, they probably did a T instead of a Y, and that just doesn't make any sense. You know, in other words, it's a drain issue, right? And so the thing is, if I put a bucket underneath the vanity faucet, if I held a bucket or a bowl there, and it's not the water running, it's the drain. And something in the connection in the wall is wrong. Now, where this toilet is on the backside, is that also finished as well?
It's on an exterior wall.
Got it. Okay.
Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. So, two things. Try the scraping of those holes under the toilet and see if that improves the toilet issue. Okay? If we can solve that, that's half the battle, right? So see if that works. Then if that does work, then we got to get the plumber back, and we probably have to pull the vanity and open up the wall, because the connection point with that vanity with that toilet is the wrong connecting point, which is why you're getting backflow up into the toilet and causing some pressure where the thing's bubbling up.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, we will start going that direction.
See what happens. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-557-4LOU. It's time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Are you looking for that rustic statement sink? Well, Builder Supply Outlet scored a delivery of fire clay farmhouse sinks at a smoking hot deal. Sculpted from fire clay fired at extreme temps, their strong enamel finish is both beautiful and stain resistant, equipped with a walnut or beechwood cutting board insert. These sinks can retail for over $1,300, but you can get them right now for $269.99 in store at Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview or buildersupplyoutlet.com. Get them while they last.
857-557-4LOU is our phone number. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Anything we can help you with this morning, just pick up the phone and give us a call. I do want to tell you about Toro as well. We have another product of the month giveaway. Get your yard in a tip-top shape with Toro and the Toro July product of the month giveaway. Final days to enter to win the Toro 60-volt max 24-inch hedge trimmer at WGNradio.com/contest. This award-winning battery-operated power hedge trimmer is a beast on the bushes, cutting through tough branches like butter. It has a rotating head, a vertical and horizontal hedge trimming jobs. A 24-inch dual-action steel blade means any job is easy and fast, and it's all part of the Toro FlexForce power system with an interchangeable battery for 75-plus tools for all-season power. Enter to win the Toro 60-volt max 24-inch hedge trimmer, a Toro July product of the month at WGNradio.com/contests. That's WGNradio.com/contests. Last chance to enter. The sweepstakes ends Monday, July 31st at 11:59 p.m. Central Time. 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. This is Carrie in Sycamore. Hi, Carrie. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, morning, Lou. So this is something that's confused me and amused me. I really don't care, but I have the exact same problem that a previous caller had where my washing machine, when the agitator goes with a vroom, 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 in sync with the vroom, 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 my light above it turns into a disco ball. And I'll give you, so there's nothing wrong with my electric downstairs. It's rock solid. I've got a lot of stuff down there. This happened, however, I used to have fluorescent shop lights with fluorescent tubes.
Right.
I switched them to LEDs recently, and that's when it started. But it's only, and they're all on the same circuit, but it's only the one that is directly above the washer and dryer, but they're on the same circuit. So this is kind of confusing. Like I said, I find it amusing, kind of, because it's I don't care.
But it's only the light over the top. Yeah. You said it's on the same circuit, but it's not the same circuit as the washing machine.
No, it's not. But the light. So the lights. So there's another identical shop light LED shop light rig, just down on a different circuit. And that one does not do the blinking, and it's maybe 10 feet away from the washer and dryer. It's only the one directly above. And it only happened, it did not do it with the fluorescent bulbs, which is confusing because those draw more power and have
The interesting thing about that is that so what I think it is that last light, wherever you have it, is it wired or plugged in?
Plugged in.
Is sharing a neutral. It's sharing the neutral wire.
Okay.
That the washing machine is using.
Okay.
So in other words, if you open up that box, you probably will see some white wires all bound together with a wire nut.
Okay. Yep.
And one of those neutral wires, like the one coming off of your fixture, okay, so for instance, you said so there's a box and it's plugged in right above the.
Yeah, it's a ceiling. It's on the ceiling. So the conduit goes through the first light I mentioned that's farther away, and then continues and it ends with this one.
And then right there up in the ceiling is a receptacle.
Yep.
So you in theory could unplug that light, put an extension cord on it, and plug it in at the other spot. So if you did that and then you don't get the flashing lights, then we know that it's sharing a neutral wire, and you can either run another neutral wire off of that other fixture through the pipe and disconnect it from what is connected there, or you could just plug it into the other outlet and zip tie an extension cord up there and be done. The thing with LED lights, the reason that people are having so many problems with it is that it's circuitry, right? So it's solid state, the diode, it's not like a light bulb. And so it's very sensitive. And for those of us in the AM radio business, it's a problem too, because that circuitry can interfere with the signal of the AM frequency. And so it's...
Yeah, I've heard lots of people call you about that.
It's a lot of learning curve, but try the little test with plugging into the other outlet and see if you solve it that way.
Sure, that, maybe that'll help the other caller, because I find it kind of amusing, because it's just above the washer and dryer, but whatever.
Well,
I'll give it a shot, though. Thanks.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. Yeah, and I'm always happy to for everybody to learn every Saturday morning here. Let's see if we can learn something from Bob in Arlington Heights. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a problem with water seeping up through my concrete floor in the basement. It's seeping up from the cast iron, what they call lolly column, I believe, at the base of that column.
Okay.
And it also appears to be seeping up from the main waste pipe that goes into the concrete floor also. Both of them go into the floor.
Okay. And do you have a perimeter drain tile or a sump pump?
I don't have a sump pump. I'm not sure about the drain tile. The house is 80 years old. We've been here about 40.
Got it. I mean, it's obviously some kind of water table issue where you're getting that. And does it happen all the time or just when you get heavy rain?
Actually, I think it has happened unexpectedly when it hasn't rained. Not often, but when it rains now, we do have that seepage coming up.
And has where you live now, Bob, like, have more homes been built around you and infrastructure updated and that kind of stuff? I mean, you've lived there 40 years, so obviously there's been stuff over the years, right?
No, all the homes are old. They've been here a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a telltale sign to me when you see that water there that it's a water table issue that you need to manage by putting in perimeter drain tile and a sump pump. Now, is your basement finished or unfinished?
Unfinished.
Okay. So you in your crystal ball, Bob, what's the plan for you in this house?
Oh, we're going to be here many more years, we hope.
God willing, right? So if that's the case,
yes,
you probably would be a good candidate to have somebody like PermaSeal come out and give you an estimate to do perimeter drain tile and a sump pump for two reasons. One, it will probably solve this problem. You won't have that seepage anymore. It's going to preserve the structural integrity of the home because that lally column, you know, is sitting through that slab. You know, it's a heavy piece of metal, but, you know, you've got the part that's under the concrete and then sitting on a pier that you don't see. And, you know, it could rust out, you know, over time. And because you've got part that's in the water and then the air up above, and air and water, when they're, you know, together, that's what creates rust. When you go to sell this house in many more years, you know, you could say, I'm not going to do anything about it, and I'll just let the next people worry about that. But, you know, if we're talking about the next 10 years, you know, if we're rolling the dice that we're going to be here at least 10 years, I would invest in that.
Okay. Can they do the structural work if that lolly column has to come out and be replaced? They do.
So if they assess that and say, you know, if they go there and assess that and say, hey, this thing's kind of rusted out, we need to address that, they absolutely can.
Okay, it does look like it's rusted at the base. And I've read where they have filled those normally with concrete. Ours sounds like it's hollow. And I'm a little concerned about the structural support of that column now.
Mm-hmm. They're typically filled with concrete, but it's hard to tell by knocking on it. But I spent a couple of years as a welder, and my job was making lally columns with steel pipe and plates and then filling them with concrete. That was one of the hardest working summers I ever had.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but 800-421-SEAL is their phone number, 800-421-SEAL. And have them come out. The estimate is free, and they can assess it. They've got certified people to come out and give you an estimate on all of that, and then you can decide what to do. The one thing I do know is they'll do a very good job for you. Appreciate the phone call. Need to head into the WGN Radio newsroom and check in with Don Kleppen.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards,
and
I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up, cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw. Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they'd just fall off.
Welcome back to House Smarts Radio. Lou Manfredini. We're going to talk about updating your kitchen or your bath and doing it in a way that's going to make your life a lot easier and possibly save you some money as well. Now, I know I've talked about the fact that I redid our kitchen. You know, we have a home in southeastern Wisconsin, and I did a project there where I took it all apart. I painted the cabinets. We put in new countertops, new appliances. And in the end, it turned out great. But it was a lot of work, and quite frankly, you know, maybe not to be full of myself, but maybe most of you listening don't have the same skill set that I do, and you're like, I can't do all that work. I don't have all those tools. How am I going to do all this and get the kind of results that I want? Well, there's a company that you have started to hear here on WGN Radio and on House Smarts Radio called Redo Cabinets. Joining me on the phone line is Mark Olson, who is the co-owner of Redo Cabinets. Mark, good morning and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Can you tell our audience a little bit about Redo Cabinets and what it is you folks do?
Absolutely. So here at Redo Cabinets, we specialize in cabinet refacing, or what I like to call light kitchen remodeling. There are a lot of people out there that are considering painting their kitchen. However, we do know that's a short-term solution, or some people may consider a full kitchen remodel, but we're also aware that a full kitchen remodel is extremely intensive and may take up to months for completion. So we found a great opportunity to show homeowners about cabinet refacing. We could get your project done in as little as 3 days. And basically what we do is we take your door and drawer fronts and we dispose of them. You get to pick out a brand new style door and drawer front. And we also have a wide variety of colors to choose from, whether it's a solid color or wood grains.
Mm.
We take your existing boxes and then we sand them down, get them down to the raw wood grain. And then we put a very thick V32 laminate over the boxes. And that's going to give it like a brand new kitchen look.
So the when a customer comes and picks, you know, they want white cabinets or they want a shade of brown, light or dark or whatever, you'll match the door style, whatever that finish is, with the color that's on the frame. So when everything's reinstalled, you've got new hinges right on the doors and new hardware options if they want it, and it's going to look like brand new cabinets.
That's correct. You love your existing layout. We keep your existing layout. When it's done, it looks like brand new cabinets. We have a wide variety of hardware selection with several different options of finishes. And your doors come with soft close hinges. And then we also have a lot of accessories to add to your kitchen, whether you want to add crown molding, trash can pullout, sink tilt tray, a lot of fun accessories that go along with it.
What about for people that maybe have, okay, I like my layout, but man, this one drawer where I keep all my silverware, you know, is problematic. I'm constantly, you know, it doesn't work well. Can you come in and retrofit that with a new drawer that works well?
Absolutely. We could also build new boxes and new drawer boxes. So most houses, their drawer boxes are in good shape. If they're not, we could replace them with a brand new drawer box, and we could also add soft close glides as well to the drawer boxes.
Mm.
So that is definitely an option we offer.
And so, you know, we talk about the fact that, you know, if you're going to do a whole kitchen, right, you're gutting everything. It's a huge hassle. It costs a lot of money. Doing this refacing by doing the new door fronts and you know, as you mentioned, you know, trimming up the boxes, making it look good. Saves people a lot of money, but I would imagine then, too, what about someone's like, well, I really would like to do countertops or maybe a new sink. Is that something you can help with as well?
Yep, we're a one-stop shop. We also offer a wide variety of countertop options, and we also offer backsplash. We also have, again, sinks, faucets. If you want to go a farm-style sink, we also have that option as well.
Mm, that's great. How many different door styles or colors are offered in your services?
Right now, we have about 26 different colors, and that's a variety of dark wood grains to light wood grains. And we also have a wide variety of solid colors from your standard whites all the way down to some black options. So we have a wide variety of colors to choose from that can match any style you're looking for.
Now, you mentioned when we started saying, hey, we can transform the look of your kitchen, you know, in just a matter of days. But can you take, just so we set everybody's expectations about, you know, what the process is like, because you're going to send somebody out to measure, obviously present the styles, but there is a little lead time, obviously, that they're waiting to get the stuff before the work gets done.
Correct. Correct. After you purchase an order with us, we get our measure tech out to your house, hopefully within 72 hours to get your product measured so we can get it ordered right away.
Right.
We typically see right now, depending on the seasonality, anywhere from 5 to 7 weeks before we actually start to install your project. Now, the installation process, you know, our installers basically kind of go through a whole punch list with you in the beginning. We take extra precautions to protect the surroundings of your kitchen. We put up plastic wrap. We close off the area to make sure it's sound as a pound and we're not going to damage anything and be very courteous to your house.
Mm. And we're talking about kitchens, but you can also help people in the bathroom as well.
Yeah, that's correct. We can also do bathroom vanities. Quite a bit of bathroom vanities have been showing up now that we're able to do those. We offer the countertops, the hardware, and also the refacing and the vanities as well.
Right. Now, I know that pricing is, you know, it depends on the job and the number of cabinets and whatnot, but can you give the listeners kind of an idea of, you know, the starting point maybe of where you could go? I mean, I know that it's remarkably less than what a whole new kitchen would be. And I think a lot of people maybe don't, you know, they just don't understand how expensive that is. You know, to do a gut kitchen, you could easily spend $50,000 to $75,000 if you ripped it all out and started from scratch. You're remarkably less expensive than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're a lot less than a full kitchen remodel. They are ranging from the high over $60,000 up to past $100,000, depending on the products you're choosing.
Right.
But we're definitely more than painting. There's a lot of labor involved and also a lot of product involved, which gives us the lifetime warranty that we give on our products. So we've done small kitchen refaces as small as around $6,000, and some of our projects have gone just right about $35,000. But I would say a sweet spot that we typically see is right about $18,000, and that's including backsplash, countertop, sink, faucet, full reface, crown molding, hardware, you name it. So a brand
that's
new kitchen
awesome.
For as little.
Yeah. One other thing, you know, I had a chance to come out and see you guys and see your facility, what you were all about and how you do all the quality control. All these cabinet doors that you are getting are all made in the USA, correct?
That's correct. Everything is made in the USA, right out of Ashland, Ohio, a family-owned company, manufacturer, a really close relationship with them. And we're really proud to be exclusive, the only exclusive dealer in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, it's really nice looking stuff. And I got to see some of the setups and the displays you have. And it's, I think, a real viable option for people if they're thinking about a kitchen and bathroom. All right, give us the 411. How do people contact you to learn more and maybe set up? I'm assuming it's a no obligation appointment, right, for people to come out and take a look at your kitchen?
Absolutely. It's no obligation. All you've got to do is give us a call. You can reach us at our office at 630-686-1700, or you could go on our website at www.redocabinets.com. Feel free to give us a call. Our customer service representatives will fill you in with any information you need. We'll set you up with an appointment, and the price is good for one full year, so if the if and when comes up, you definitely know what your kitchen reface costs.
That's awesome. Mark Olson is the co-owner of Redo Cabinets. If you're thinking about redoing your kitchen or the bathroom and you want a viable option that's going to save you money but look fantastic, then give these folks a call or go to their website. Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time this morning. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you, Lou, and thank you, WGN listeners. Really appreciate it. Hope to see you all soon.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. Our phone number is 857-557-4LOU, 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this. You know, we love to give home improvement tips on House Smarts Radio, so here's a tip for financing your next project, right? Got to pay for it. Talk to the home equity loan experts over at DuPage Credit Union. They'll fit the right home equity loan to your needs. Learn more at DuPageCU.com or call 800-323-2611. Now, by member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender. NMLS number 445096.
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini.
Hi, Lou. How are you today?
I am doing great on this beautiful, beautiful day. How may I help you this morning?
And House Smarts Radio.
Accidentally, some candle wax was spilled on my laminate kitchen floor.
He's taking your calls live.
I Googled it and it said use warm water and vinegar, and I tried that and it doesn't do any good.
On any questions about your home that the old Google can't answer for you. Now back to your host, Lou, right here on House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU. Is our number. This is Joe in Oak Lawn. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I heard a while back you had somebody on there, and you were talking to him about talking about solar panels on the roof.
Yeah.
And I was interested in getting that. And I would like to find a local guy to do it, not one of the big name companies out there that, you know, promise you all this stuff and take 6 months to do it.
So, Joe, it's so interesting that you called, because I was having this conversation this week with a friend of mine, and the interesting thing about this whole solar panel like movement that seems to be out there right now, I can't get a straight answer out of anybody about if it's beneficial or not to you, the user. Okay. And the reason is this: it seems to me, and you just mentioned that a lot of these big guys, they'll come out and say, oh yeah, we'll put these up on your roof and you'll get free electricity, but you don't really own the panels and they're leasing it back. And it seems, at least the information that I've uncovered, these companies are the ones making all the money using your roof to give the energy back to the grid.
Yes, you're 100% right.
Okay.
I've kind of talked and got into this more. I mean, this free thing that they give you, you're still going to pay something to them. Some of them have increases that they, you know, it starts out at $25 a month, but it could go up every year. And they lease it. And, you know, the best thing is, though, after 20 or 25 years, you can buy it from them. You know,
right.
After you paid all this money for this time.
Right. So to me,
and
go ahead.
There's another program out there that, they get the energy credit from the federal government. They also sell, I forgot what it's called, but it's credits, energy credits to companies or the state, and they get that money. So basically a $30,000 installation for me, I would get a third of that back as a government credit, and then I would get, 25% back maybe from selling my credits to one of these companies. So, you know, in the end, you know, I'm getting something for half price and I own it. Right. And I don't pay very little after that.
Right, right. I don't know. You know, I was talking to my buddy Mike Jakubowski about this, and like he goes up to a fishing every year. A few years he goes fishing up in Canada, and the camps up there all have solar panels and battery packs, and that's how they power the camps because they're on some island. You know, you got to fly into the middle of it, and you know this guy up in Canada just put up these solar panels, put the battery system in there, and it's got an inverter, and he runs everything off of that. So to me, you know, the thing is, yeah, there's a cost in you buying your own panels and putting it in, but then you own it and you get all the benefit of it. And then I think there's a way for you to sell back to the grid and you get to get right. So why do I need these other people to do this? And I cannot find like what you and I are talking about, anybody that wants to do that. Oh, no, you don't want to do that or whatever. I'm like, why not? Why can't I find somebody to come and say, hey, like to me, it would seem to me like a Lindholm Roofing or one of these roofing companies could figure out the way, could put this up on the roof and say, here you go. I'm going to charge you. I'm going to make this number up $20,000, right? And I'm going to install these solar panels on the roof, and then I'm going to run the wire down into your garage, and then do whatever you want with it, right? Plug it into a battery or somehow do it into the grid. There's a way to transfer that. There's like a transfer switch that you buy that I'm sure Square D makes, right? This is not – it's like all off-the-shelf stuff. And – I got to do a better job of getting this information. So you're motivating me to really, because there's a lot of questions. I got a lot of questions. And, you know, you're not the first person to ask me this, and I need to get more information. So I don't have the answer for you right now. Give me a couple weeks, and I will.
Okay. And the only problem is, you know, if you go on the internet and you try to do some research, all you get is these companies, the big companies, calling you. And you can't find a little company around that's going to do it.
Correct. Correct.
And those little, the big ones, and they got the contract is 30 or 40 pages.
Right.
I mean, what does that tell you? You know, and then the next thing is you got to give them X number of dollars and they guarantee to do something within 30 days. But that's just a guy to come out and look at your system and say, oh, yeah, we can do this. And then they have up to 6 months to actually install it.
Yeah. It's a whole, I'm telling you, it's like, it's a racket. And the only people that are making the money, you know, and I don't fault anybody making money, but
I
think that the homeowners kind of we're getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Right. And we're providing the foundation essentially for the solar panel to look up at the sky.
Right.
I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Just give me a couple weeks, and I'm gonna do some digging. I'm gonna put my Columbo trench coat on, and I'm gonna put that on. I'm gonna ask a lot of questions, like Robert Falk.
I thought I heard somebody on WGN Radio a few months back, several months back, and it was something electric, and they were way up on the north side or north suburb. That they would do it,
I'll find out. I don't know that, but I'll find out.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're a good man. I appreciate you calling this morning. We're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away.
You're tuned into Lou.
I did some research on a tankless water heater. I was told that there's a minimum water pressure.
If you've got a question, now's the time to call.
And I may not have enough pressure. I was wondering if there is a pressure device that I can check the pressure myself.
No pressure.
Look at me. I'm like a scientist.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Fire up the Bunsen burner and get to work.
And House Smarts Radio. Pressure.
Welcome back. House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, until 10 o'clock. 857-557-4LOU. Lindsay's texting me, making fun of me. And my niece, Ellen, sent, she's got like a dining room table. And she was sent it out in the group text, and she's like, "Hey, I've got this table. We're getting rid of this table. It's a little worn, but it's sturdy." And I was like, "Oh, kind of like me. It's a little bit worn, but still sturdy, especially with my new knee." Have I talked about my new knee lately?
Not lately, no.
Okay, can I tell you, I'm amazing.
Oh.
And I'm not amazing like I'm amazing, but If you're on the fence about doing knee surgery, don't be. I am now, I don't know, when did I did this on my birthday. It was my birthday present, May 4th. So what is that? All of May, all of June, all of July, basically, right? 3 months.
Okay, yep.
I am in zero pain. I can do everything. I was on a fishing trip with my buddy Mike J., Monday, Tuesday, we went on a little fishing trip. I have a little fishing boat. And so when you're on a fishing boat, and we were at Lake Winnebago, which is choppier than you would think. And when you're standing on that boat, you know, it's moving around a lot like my physical therapist does. There's like a little, you stand on this board and it's got like a ball on the bottom of it, you know, and you kind of, I don't know.
Balance exercises.
Balance exercises. Thank you, Don.
Yes, sir.
That's what the boat was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it.
That is awesome.
Right, you know, in that end of Karate Kid,
the crane,
where he busts his, was it his knee or his knee?
Yeah,
or his
ankle? It's his knee. Yep.
Sweep
it's
the leg.
His knee. And he's there, and he's, and I'm, okay, you can't see me now, but look at me, Lindsay. I'm putting my hands up, and I got my knee up like Ralph Macchio.
The crane.
The crane. I'm there. That's me right now. So, don't, I know a lot of people say, oh, it's the worst thing that ever happened. It is not. I hear, oh my gosh, I hear from people.
Who says that?
I ran into this guy who had his knee done. He's like, oh, I'm still in pain. How long? Oh, two years ago. I'm still in pain. I'm like, what did you do?
Didn't go fishing.
No, and didn't do exactly what they tell you beforehand with the exercises.
Could you play pickleball?
I could. And can I tell you? Can I tell you what I did the other day? I don't even tell my wife this. I went for a run.
No.
Not nice. Far. Mm. Just to try it.
That's great.
Just to try it. And I was like, hey, I can run again. Like before when I ran, I was like, I look like, I don't know what I look like. I didn't look good. It didn't look good. It was like, I looked like a guy that shouldn't be running. Like that guy, he shouldn't run.
Like there was an emergency somewhere behind
right,
you.
Right, right. Like other than if a bear was chasing you.
Right, right.
Right? But I am all in on the knee replacement. I had it done in North Shore just for, you know, no, it was great.
That's awesome.
I'm all in.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Andy.
And you know what? It'll be fun when the weather's cooling off this weekend. It'll be less humid. The running will start being enjoyable again.
Exactly. Right. I can't even walk out the backyard. And it's smoking hot.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We were fishing up in Lake Winnebago. It was Monday, Tuesday. We have this, Mike and I do this annual fish fry, and we have to catch all the fish that we do on the fish fry. And we were not as successful as we wanted to be. The water was really hot. Mm-hmm. And on Monday, I mean, this is it was a work trip, you guys. Okay. So I'm trying to figure out how I can, you know, deduct this on my taxes.
Sure.
We got up at 4:30 in the morning. We were on the water by 5:15 fishing. And by 2 o'clock, it was 95 degrees.
Mm. Oh, God.
And we are both just drenched in sweat. And Mike turns to me and he goes, I'm about ready to burst into flames. So hot.
Man.
And so I said, how about we come off the water, we go shower, right? And we get cleaned up. We have an early dinner, and then we come back out for some night fishing. So we stayed at this campground. We rented a cabin, which was fabulous. And it was on a campground, but the cabin had no running water. It didn't have a bathroom.
Mm.
So it's a campground, right? So across the road, like not even a gravel road. They have like a building with a swimming pool and locker rooms with bathrooms and showers, you know, like a campground. So we get there and we take our little shaving kits and we go walking across the street. You know, they have multiple showers, right? So we can, and we go in and I move the shower curtain. I go in, you know, with my Crocs on, and you need quarters to get the shower to work.
Oh, no.
I'm like, well, they didn't mention that, right? And I just have a little shaving kit and, you know, I'm going to take a shower. Thankfully, I had quarters in my truck. And so you get 3 minutes for 25 cents.
Wow.
Yep, we had four quarters, so we took 6 minutes, which, you know, 6 minutes is a lot.
Is it? Or does it go really quickly?
I mean, I didn't shave or anything, but, you know, yeah. I was clean, right?
You charge more?
That alone was worth every quarter.
Oh, my God.
Charge more for hot water? Is it cold water free? But
no, it was warm right away. It was fabulous.
Okay, all right.
It's the best. Then you're all clean, and then we went to dinner, and it was great. And then we went and fished at night, and we had more success.
Nice.
There you go. What was I talking about?
I have no
Your knee.
Idea.
857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568 is our phone number. Let's go back to the phone lines here and talk with Darren, who's in St. John, Florida. Hi, Darren.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Appreciate you taking my call. Yeah, I've got a question for you. I've got a limestone, newly installed as of a couple months ago, March, limestone paver pool deck. It's a very light color. It's called White Capri, but nonetheless, I'm having difficulties trying to get a good sealer on it. So just curious what you think would be best for that.
And why do we want a sealer?
Well, because it does, obviously in Florida, we get a lot of rain and heat, and the deck gets moldy, I guess, pretty quick. It's been really wet this year in particular. But and obviously for stain protection. I know when I bought when we had the project done, the stone company said, you know, as far as cleaning it, you could just put straight bleach on it just to remove any stains.
No. Here's what I would do. The reason I don't want you to seal it is it'll get slippery. And down there, because of the heat, you're going to get it to peel off. Like, the sealer in that is going to be a problem. And so what I want you to buy is some wet and forget. How big is this pool? How big is this pool deck?
30 by 60.
Okay. Now, I want you to buy the concentrate, and I want you to buy a pump sprayer, okay?
Yep.
And you're going to mix it with the water and the concentrate in the pump sprayer, and you're going to leave. Where do you keep all the pool chemicals?
They're in a pool box on the back.
So you're going to keep this in the pool box, okay? And you're going to take this out, and you're going to walk around your pool deck at the end of the day or whatever one day, and you're going to spray it all with the wet and forget. And you're going to probably do that once a month, just part of your normal maintenance. It'll handle the mildew and mold. It won't make it slippery. It won't get dirty. And the limestone will look fantastic.
All right, great. I'll give it a shot. Yeah, I've used the wet and forget on the vinyl fences down here and whatnot for, you know, similar, but didn't think about using it for the deck, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and it works really well on limestone. I mean, like, they use it on memorials and places like that, so it will work. And you may not even have to do once a month. It might be every couple months, but just keep an eye on it, and it works all by itself, and it'll do a perfect job for that.
Perfect. Really appreciate it. Thanks, sir.
You got it. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you listening. 857-557-4LOU. 857-557-4568. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
This is a house that Jack built, y'all.
Now back to Lou Manfredini.
Remember this house.
Taking your calls right here on House Smarts Radio.
It was the man that it worked by hand. Yeah. It was the dream of an upright man. There was a room that was filled with love. Yeah. It was a love that I was proud of.
Welcome back. 857-557-4LOU. This is Carolyn in Park Ridge. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I just was wondering what you think about trenchless repair to a sewer line.
If the sewer is not collapsed and it is, you know, water is still running, like it's pitched correctly, it can,
right.
It can be a viable solution to the repair. What's the situation you have?
Well, yeah, it's still running. We've been told that there's a crack. The problem is, you know, where it is, and if we were to dig up, the problems that that would entail.
Right.
And so,
did you already get an estimate for doing this?
Yes, and they didn't. And so then I went online and started investigating. I mean, basically, the only option, I mean, there was only one option, was to break up the cement and dig. And so when I went online to investigate, I read about this trenchless repair.
Right.
So, you know, I was going to call a couple other places that would offer that.
Okay, so in other words, where the break is. So they put a camera down there and located the break. And is that, like, near the home or near the street, or what's the story?
It's near the home, and it's under the driveway.
Got it. Okay. And so, and when they, and did you have, like, a plumber televise the entire sewer?
Yes.
Okay. And so they found this break at the point. Now, the break, it's not a collapse, is it?
It is not a collapse. It is not.
Okay. And so did you already get a bid from someone on the trenchless thing?
No.
Okay. All right. I mean, you got to, you know, probably to dig up your driveway and repair that, it could be anywhere from, you know, $10,000 to $15,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, a little bit more.
And then you have to patch the driveway.
Yes.
Right? So,
yes.
You know, if the trenchless people come in at half that, that's a pretty good deal. But I think that they'll probably... go ahead.
I guess my question is, you know, how long does that last? Is it, you know, I mean, are we going to have the problem again in a couple years, or...
Well, I mean, it is not a, it is, essentially what it is, it's like a sock, right? That they, it's like you're unfolding the sock before you put it in the laundry.
Okay.
Do you unfold your socks before you put it in the laundry?
Yes.
Lindsay does not. I just saw it on your face. You don't do it. That is like, it's like you're not even cleaning the socks if you
it's
don't
like
do
101.
That.
101. Okay, Mom, I know.
All right? It's like a wad, and you I might try. As well just throw them in the garbage.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Agreed.
So you unfold the sock, but then they put this polymer in there, and it essentially turns it into a PVC pipe.
Okay.
A thin PVC pipe, but a PVC pipe. That's smooth. And how old is your house, Carolyn?
40-some years.
Okay, and did they say that the line under the driveway, is it clay or is it iron?
Clay.
Okay. It's a really viable option for a clay sewer line.
Okay.
But I mean, there's nothing that's permanent, right?
Well, yes.
Right? But it will solve the problem, and, you know, is it a 10-year proposition? I mean, I think that's a reasonable expectation, if not more.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, just the thought of breaking up the driveway.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right, and it's a whole crazy thing, so... There are more than one of these trenchless companies out there, so I would get multiple bids. I'm sure they all know what they charge, but find the one that you work that you want to work with that gives you, you know, that makes you most comfortable, and then make the decision as to what is right for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your advice.
Good luck, Carolyn. I appreciate you calling this morning. 857-5574-LOU. The whole sock thing now, it's got me thinking about all kinds of other stuff, but I'm going to stop because I know we have to go to news.
Thank God for news.
Thank God for news. Thank God for Don Kleppen in this report of WGN Radio News.
It's Saturday morning, and you're waking up with Lou.
I'm wondering, Lou, if you can once and for all answer this ongoing dishwasher controversy, this debate.
He's ready to take your calls and set the record straight.
Did I hear this correctly earlier today? You asked Lou Manfredini to agree with you that you don't wash things before you stick them in the dishwasher.
For better or for worse.
Well, there's a New York Times report on this. Apparently, some detergents actually work better if they cling to the food.
Whether you want to hear it or not.
What do you think happens to a giant piece of, like, potato skin?
Happy wife, happy life.
I can't even believe you're saying that.
Lou, help me.
That is, like, physically impossible.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I'm stuck on you. Whoa-oh, whoa-oh, stuck like glue.
Yeah.
You and me, baby.
That's what it reminded me of. Hey, 857-5574-LOU is our phone number, 857-557-4568. We could do our Just Text Me segment, too, now, couldn't we?
We could, Lou.
All right.
Is that my cue?
Yeah, that would be you to start. Yep.
Got it. Lou, dear Lou, the toilet in our main bathroom seems to wobble. Is there something we can do to correct this?
Well, a wobbling toilet means it's going to be a leaky toilet pretty soon, so we need to fix that for sure. One is make sure that the Johnny bolts, which are the bolts that hold the toilet to the floor, are tight. But also, you can buy these little plastic shims that they sell at the hardware store that are specifically designed to help shore up a toilet, like if the floor is uneven, and they're made of a plastic that you can cut with a utility knife. And the trick here, I'm not a huge fan of caulking a toilet to the floor, but when you use these shims, it's kind of necessary. So you put the shims in to get it nice and level, and you sit there with your rear end and kind of like, oh yeah, that feels pretty good. Then you take a sharp utility knife and along the edge of the toilet against the floor, cut the shims. Then take some siliconized latex caulking, assume your toilet is white, in a white color, and caulk it to the floor. Use your finger to finish it off nice and evenly. Don't use the toilet for at least, I don't know, 12 hours. So you're just going to have to hold it. Or hopefully you have another bathroom. And then once it dries, it shouldn't work anymore. Or shouldn't wobble anymore.
Wobble.
Right.
All right. Lou, I bought a townhome here at the Glen. I have large half-circle windows that apparently need to be resealed. I have no idea who to call. Any ideas?
Well, if they're leaking, I do not have a personal relationship with these companies that do this, but there are several companies out there that will come in, they'll drill a hole in, they will provide a negative pull on the system to pull anything out of there, and then they seal the window back up. And it's not a permanent solution, but I've heard from listeners who have had this done, and they've been very happy with the results. So do a little Googling and get a couple of estimates on it, and they should probably be able to help you out.
All right, and lastly, our AC unit is really loud. We've had it serviced for the summer, and it's working correctly. It's not a vibration issue, but there is a loud humming heard inside the home. Will adding a purchased noise reduction cover over the condenser be a good solution?
I mean, if the unit is older, it's not uncommon that older units get the compressors are noisy. And so, you know, the issue becomes is it worth it to replace the compressor, or do you replace the whole thing? So, you know, in the industry, the rule of thumb is if it's 15 years old or older, then you're probably, it's a better place to probably replace the entire unit as opposed to doing that. The noise reduction cover, I think, will probably have a very limited effect on it. So you just have to sort of ask yourself, what's the best use of your money? Replacing the compressor, which is probably what's making most of the noise, or it could be the fan motor too. And then if that is, you know, obviously if you're going to just replace the AC, you know, that could be a $4,000 plus proposition, depending on the size of the house. If you're going to replace the fan motor or the compressor, you know, maybe that's $1,500. I'm just making these numbers up, but roughly that's probably about it. And then it should be quiet and, you know, you don't have to listen to it. And that cover might cost you $500-$600. And then if it doesn't work, you're out $500-$600. So I think it would be better to assess whether replacing the compressor or the fan motor or the entire unit makes better sense for you. 857-557-4LOU. That's our Just Text Me segment this morning. This is Darren in Belvedere. Hey, Darren, you're on House Smarts Radio.
Hey, Lou, good to talk to you.
How may I help you?
I heard you talking about the solar, and as usual, your initial assessment is exactly correct. you are right again. I spent about 6 months researching and looking into solar, and you're right. The renting and the leasing, just the only people who do well are the people who are putting the system on your roof. But I ended up doing an install with a local company here in Rockford, Illinois.
Okay.
And really, really pleased with the results. And yeah, I got the federal credit as well as the tax or the solar credits as well.
Wait. So hold on, I got questions now because then I got a fish on the line, which earlier in the week I didn't have many. So you went to a local company and you yourself bought the panels.
That's correct.
So
I bought it through them. I bought the panels through them. I mean, they do. I could have bought them much cheaper, I think, but they, I don't know if they would have installed them. But they sold me the system, and it's a 4.8 year payback.
Okay, but those panels on that roof are yours.
Yes, sir. I have 30 panels that I purchased,
and you bought it through them. And now you're, and yep. So, and how, what, how, what kind of kilowatts do those panels generate?
My inverter is sized for 8.2 kilowatts, I believe.
Okay. So
what's interesting is your panels are actually more. I think I have like a 12 kilowatt system, but the inverter is only 8.2.
Right, because there's loss. There's loss in the whole thing, just like a grid. Okay, so can I ask you some questions about this? You got a second?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
So you bought these panels from a company out in Rockford, and
yes. You
pay. Did you finance it through them, or did you do it on your own, or did you write them a check? What did you do?
They have a couple options. You can write them a check, or they had an 18-month 0% plan, which I ended up taking. Because with the two credits, it takes a while for both of those credits to go through.
Right.
And so I can pay for it, but not without those credits. So that's why I took the 0% 18 months from them.
Okay. And so
but you could also pay. Go ahead.
If you were going to write them a check for what you did, how much would that have cost?
The total system. So I don't have a. Bank or the power. I just have the inverter that goes to the system, so I don't have the.
You're not storing any electricity.
I'm not correct. So the total price tag was $27,000, and I think I'm going to pay about $7,000 So I think I'm getting about $20,000 in between the credit, the federal tax credit, and the SREC credit.
And so then when we get all this paid off, and you said that you're in 4 years, the energy, and so you're, it's providing power to your home with no storage, and in four and a half years, you're going to essentially be at zero.
That's right.
And then...
So I still will have to pay... I still have to pay the utility service for their maintenance fee per month. So it's like $12 to $14 a month.
Right, because you're...
It doesn't go away. That's just their service.
Right, because Right, but then... So that $12 or $15 a month, you're generating most of the power for your home from these solar panels.
Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm actually overproducing in the summer. So I'm selling it back to them in the summer, and then I'm pulling from them in the winter. But it's sized so that it's a net-net. So you basically, the amount that I overproduce is the same amount that I'll then pull back from them in the winter, so that essentially I'll have zero electricity cost from them.
And then does this company that you used offer like a because obviously, you know, solar panels, they're not, it's not like a tattoo. It needs some kind of maintenance, right?
That's right.
They provide that as an additional service.
Yeah, what's really nice is there's an inverter that there's an app that you can see exactly how much you're producing per day, per month, per year. That inverter has a 10-month warranty, and the panels and the installation, I believe, are a 15-year warranty. The expected life of the panels is 25 years. The minimum warranty is 10 years, and that's the inverter.
Darren is my new solar buddy.
I spent a lot of time researching.
You know what I call you? You are my sunshine. See what I did there?
Well, whatever I can do to help.
Good job.
Your initial assessment was spot on.
Everybody's making the money, but you, the homeowner, that's providing.
That's right.
You know, and so I mean, look, $27,000 is not a small amount of money, and you got to come up with that initially. But as you said, you're going to get these federal tax credits, and by the time No, and they're not providing you a check. It's just a credit on your taxes each year. So, you know, it does.
Just the first year, just 1 year. Yeah.
Right. But that's the way to go. More companies need to do that. That's the sweet spot there. That's where I think you got plenty of people that would be willing to put that money in there and then see the long-term benefit of that. If we do that more and more as we're trying to, you know, grapple with climate change and do stuff like that. I mean, you're just producing all this energy from the sun. It's awesome.
That's right. Yeah. And what's really nice is, I mean, the two things, you know, I'd love to do my part if I can, but really I was like, if it doesn't make financial sense, I'm not going to do it.
100%.
But 4.5 years pays what makes sense. But the other thing that's really nice is I was talking to a friend who also has solar is, you know, in the summer is when I'm producing the most, which is when their system is really bogged down because everybody's using air conditioners. And so that's when the most electricity is demanded, and that's when I'm actually producing more than I can use. And the winter is actually when I need electricity from the grid when I am not producing. And that's when they're able to supply me. And
you know what, you know, Darren, you're like a farmer. You're producing in the summer, and then you need a little help in the winter, just like a farmer. Just like, well, it's the second time I said it today, Wally Phillips, people helping people. Good job, Darren.
That's right.
I'm giving you a hee-haw salute right now. Salute. Good job.
Thanks, Lou.
Appreciate the information. Yeah, that's awesome information. Darren out there helping people, right? This is what we want, people helping people. 857-5574. Oh, by the way, I told you I was with my son and daughter-in-law, and they've got some friends over, and their friend Leah, she turned 29 today on the 29th. It's her golden birthday.
Happy birthday,
Leah. Yeah. 857-5574. Lou, we're broadcasting from the PermaSeal Foundation Repair Studios. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
or tuned in to Lou, your favorite handyman, right here on House Smart Radio.
I love you, people. 857-557-4LOU is our phone number. Go back to the phone line. Dave and Carrie. Hey, Dave, good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call. We really enjoy your program.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I tell you, we moved into a new house here about a year and a half ago. And we're now considering putting in a three-season room off the back along with a deck.
Nice.
And the architect that we engaged drew the foundation for the three-season room as a full foundation. And several of the contractors we're talking to are saying, well, there's a less expensive option that could still work by using concrete piers. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it to help us resolve this question.
Well, will the village, city, / carry allow you to do that?
Evidently, they will.
Okay.
For a three-season room.
Yeah, so I would absolutely do that. I mean, do you need the basement space?
No, actually, he's drawing it as just a crawl space.
Oh, okay.
With an access panel through the basement.
Yeah. If it were me, in something like this, you could absolutely do piers, right, where they would go down, you know, below frost level. And how big is the room going to be?
Probably about 130 square feet.
Okay. So, you know, I would come on, I would, you know, drill into the, well, I would just put piers, right? And like in the corners, maybe in the center, like if it's a big rectangle, in the corners, in the center, on the outside walls, right below the frost level, down 42 inches or so, put a little steel in there, like rebar to reinforce it, and then pour a slab on top of that, a reinforced slab on top of that. You build the walls around the perimeter. If the village will let you do that, it's absolutely a viable option that won't go anywhere. I have a screened-in porch on our home for the past 20 years. That's how it's built, and it hasn't moved a lick. And,
oh, okay. Yeah, and the architects seem to be concerned about differential settlement between the house and the three-season room,
well,
especially as it's related to the roof.
Right, but you would have differential settlement anyway when you put a new foundation there because it's new. So, yeah, I get the point of that there's a wider swath of it sitting on the ground, but I think I think years ago I built something in Cary. Isn't your ground just full of rock and clay?
Yeah, we've been pulling out a lot of rocks. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is solid out there, and it's a pain in the butt to dig. I mean, your contractor's not going to like digging those holes, but just increase the size of the piers. I mean, you know, when they build big buildings, they put caissons in, right? So this is essentially a version of a caisson. Now, yeah, you're not going down to bedrock, but it can work. And the other thing I would tell you in that three-season room is do a split system for your heating and cooling.
Okay, we weren't planning to put any mechanicals in it. We were just going to have it for basically, you know,
Dave,
late spring to
Dave,
fall.
Dave,
yes.
You want mechanical in there. Split system, oh. One cassette that is all electric, one 3-inch hole. You can do it later if you want, but you're going to want that. Because there's going to be days where it's going to be, I would love to sit out there, but it's so hot because the windows are in. And there's going to be days in the winter where you'd love to go out there, but it's too cold. And a little bit of some love from a Mitsubishi split system is going to make your life so much easier. And it's going to add very little cost to the whole thing.
Oh, interesting. All right. Appreciate the advice.
Appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Don't go away.
You're out of breath. Your constant dry cough just won't go away. It might be asthma, it might be COPD, but it could be interstitial lung disease. ILD won't wait, and neither should you. So ask your doctor. Find a pulmonologist. The sooner you know, the sooner you and your family can face ILD together. With ILD, knowledge is power. and your strongest advocate is you. Go to lungsandyou.com/learn more.
Oh my God, my last call, by the way, was just talking about the Mitsubishi stuff. It was sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make.